Well, welcome to Tithe tonight. Hopefully you guys are ready for some downtime after all the Christmas rush. And I'd like to thank Elise Kruger. She's a junior at Findlay University and is joining us tonight to provide the music. So it's a little different than what we're used to. And I hope you enjoy her gifts. She shared them for many years with us and have come to love and appreciate what she provides for us. So let's open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time to come together and be in your presence. Just rest, get quiet, get away from our rush and busyness, and just spend some time with you. We pray that we come here with hearts and minds and ears open to hear what it is you have for us tonight. In Christ, amen. Tonight's reading comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. During our first reading, be at peace and silence as you listen for the Holy One. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Allow God to direct you to a word or phrase from the second reading of the text. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. During the silence, you are invited to come forward to light a candle to signify a prayer intention or another understanding between you and God. You may also come to the kneeler to be anointed for healing for yourself or another. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So when I was selecting the scripture for tonight, the part I originally was thinking about doing was just the last section about what to think on. But when I read the whole passage, I realized this was kind of a total package. There wasn't a piece that you can let go of. And if you look at it, there are only six verses that we read tonight. But it is so filled with guidance from God's word that my guess is if we took a poll of who received what word and what phrase tonight, I bet every one of you had something different. It would be so varied. And I know as I read the verses, and I can tell they're the ones that if I reread them regularly, every time I read them, I'd be met differently every time. It was that kind of come that go-to scripture. So when it speaks originally, if we pick apart and unpack the scripture, when it speaks of always being full of joy in the Lord and rejoicing, we're able to do this because no matter what our current life situation is, our circumstances, we can rest assured that Jesus Christ is with us, that we are in Christ. He dwells within us. He is the one always consistent piece of our puzzle in our life. And from that vantage point, if we look at it, we're able to have like this internal attitude of peace no matter what our external situations are. Next, we're given this guideline that we're supposed to have be considerate or gentle with others in all that we do. And this is a way for us to allow others to see who we are in Christ, who we are as Christians and believers. So what is gentleness? It's a way of building unity by being reasonable and fair-minded and charitable with others. It can be found in speaking the truth in love and listening to others' points of views. Approaching others from this place of gentleness will diffuse a lot of anger and a lot of disagreement and hostility just from our being able to approach from gentleness. So then we have to look at from what point do we approach others in our interactions. Then the next two verses are very well known. They're probably one of the most quoted scriptures. We're told to let go of all of our worries and our anxieties and to turn them over to God through prayer, as we also pray prayers of thanksgiving. And in doing so, a peace is going to come over us like no other. And it's a different kind of peace than world peace. It's a peace that comes from knowing that God is in control, not us. A peace that comes from knowing who we are in Christ. A peace that comes from knowing that with Jesus' life and death and resurrection, what that means for us. It's a peace that's grounded in God's unconditional love. It's a peace that comes from knowing that no matter what's going on in our lives, God is always there, and his love, it never changes. So as we read the scripture, what might we be speaking to us? How do we handle our worry and our anxiety? Are we trying to figure out life all on our own? Or have we felt the peace that comes when we turn it over to him? Have we experienced what it feels like to have God's unconditional love? And then as we move to the final verse of the passages, that next group that I originally thought was going to be the topic tonight, it kind of gives us this framework for managing our thoughts. Because our thoughts determine our words, and then our words determine our actions. So it's really important that we kind of manage what's going on between our ears. And we need to feed our mind with these healthy and holy thoughts. So we're told to think about what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. And I don't know about you, but if I took enough time to fill my mind with these kind of thoughts, there probably wouldn't be a lot of room to fill it with anything else. But it takes practice to actually catch ourselves and shift our mindset and to think about these type of thoughts. especially when you have a lot of stuff going on your platter and a lot of things that you're wondering how you're going to handle. So meditating on these type of thoughts, it actually provides us to look at things in a different perspective. We can actually appreciate those smaller things. We can see God moments in everything. We can find where he is in the smallest of things and the biggest of things. And we live more from a life of gratitude. And when we're doing those things, again, we come from a place of peace. And then lastly, we're called to put this all into practice. So it's one thing to say and read it, but if we don't actually do it, then we're missing the boat. And when we, it's not about knowing the Bible. If you can quote me scripture, but you can't use it to convert who you are and to transform your life, it's a rather useless tool. So you actually need to take what we're told and actually go and do something about it. So I was trying to come up with an example that would kind of put all of these scriptures to light for us. And the Taggart family, I don't know if y'all know them, Kathy and Phil are the parents, and Jen is their daughter. Their story came to mind, and with permission, I talked to Kathy. It's a privilege to share just a recent tragedy that their family has endured and how Kathy's relationship with God has helped her. So Kathy's daughter, Jen, she's a senior at Cedarville College. It's about 30 miles from Dayton. And Jen was diagnosed at 10 months old with cerebral palsy. And it's the kind that has left the right side of her body very weak. So if you saw her, she would walk with a limp, and her right arm is not, she can use it, but not a lot. She didn't walk until she was 4.5 years old. So independent walking, not until she was 4.5. And as she grew, her leg muscles would get really tight. So at 5th grade, she had to have a major surgery to actually stretch her hamstrings and release the tension that these muscles were causing her, because she was becoming unable to walk without leaning against a wall and having support. So she went through the surgery and like a year-long recovery process. And then she was able to walk independently, but not for long distances. So for Kathy, every big transition in Jen's life brought anxiety, and it brought doubt that it wouldn't go well or that she might have disaster. For example, going to middle school, when she goes from a one-level elementary school to a school that has stairs, how was she going to do that? But Jen went to middle school, and she did awesome. Then comes high school, and y'all know Strongsville is really big, and there's 2,400 students there, and here's Jen. How is she going to do that, and how is she going to manage these longer distances? But Jen, she did it. And then now comes the college decision, and Kathy's going, well, maybe she'll go to Tri-C, I'll drive her to school so she doesn't have to worry about anything, and she'll just be a commuter student. That'll work. But nope, Jen had much bigger plans, and she said, no, I'm going away to college. And she ended up finding Cedarville College, which completely accommodates the situations that she has. It's a great place for her. So off Jen goes away to college. So when I asked Kathy, well, where is God in all this? From the time she was diagnosed, where have you seen God during that? And it was funny, because Kathy said, well, her go-to verse during Jen's entire life has been Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So when doubt about Jen's ability to meet that next milestone would come over Kathy, she would go to her go-to verse, and she would pray about it. And then this peace would just come over her over and over again. And then she finally just realized God has a plan for Jen. It might not be exactly the plan Kathy expected, but he has a plan. And she just needed to allow herself to let that happen for Jen. So this realization that God can be found in everything, it became even clearer to Kathy on November 28th. She had just dropped Jen off near Dayton at her college, and she was almost back to Strongsville when a hospital called her, and Jen had been hit by a car. So she got home. She didn't even take time to pack clothes or even a toothbrush. She grabbed her husband, Phil, and they took off to Dayton with not really knowing whether their daughter was alive, because the hospital was not giving them a lot of information. They couldn't tell her how she was, and they assumed the worst, that something could really have been happened, that she may not have made it, and they're just not telling her that information. So they drove almost 3 hours to Dayton in this complete place of unknowing. But while she traveled, this particular verse came into her head. And it was the one from Romans about God's perfect will. And she said, it just kept coming to her and coming to her. And she realized when she thought on that verse that it was going to be okay. Whatever they walked into in the hospital, it was going to be okay, no matter what it was. And again, that peace just surrounded her for that trip down to Dayton. So Jen's injuries, they weren't life-threatening. She incurred a fractured forehead, and she had a concussion, but the brain bleed actually healed itself, which was a blessing. And she broke her femur, and it was actually on her right side, that's her weak side. And they were able to do a surgery to put a rod in, and a minimally invasive surgery, and she doesn't even have a cast. So it could have been a lot worse for her. So again, they were able to see God in that moment. She's hit by a car, and she made it with minimal injuries. So on the second night that they were in the hospital, Jen was still unconscious. They had kind of put her on some meds, and she also had the concussion just to keep her sedated. And an older gentleman came into the hospital room, and Kathy asked if he was from the college from Cedarville. And he goes, no, I'm the one who found her. And she's going, what do you mean? And he goes, they didn't tell you? And she goes, no. He goes, well, Todd, which was the man, and his wife and his daughter were coming home from a basketball game. And they were driving along the road, and up in front of them in the middle of the road looked like a bag of trash with clothes in it. But as they got closer, you know, it's dark outside, and it was raining, they realized it wasn't a bag of trash, it was a person. It was Jen. And they pulled over. 911 hadn't been called. The car that hit her was parked off to the side, and when they went to go check on that person, the person that was in the car was in shock. And all he was saying was, oh my God, I hit her. Oh my God, I hit her. And he hadn't called 911. He was in shock. So the wife called 911, and Todd sat with Jen, and he just held her hands, and he just kept telling her, just look at me, just look at me. And he was there for her, and he was just holding on to her. And in that moment, when he was telling this to Kathy, she realized that God had sent Todd as an angel to be with Jen in that moment. Had he not come in that moment, she doesn't even want to think of what could have happened had it been a different car. Jen may not be here today. So God was in those moments, even in that tragedy. So Todd visited Jen several times in the hospital, and he actually goes to the Methodist Church in Cedarville. So now all of a sudden, he has the entire congregation praying for her recovery and inquiring about how Jen's doing. God is in those moments. So as Kathy stayed at the hotel during Jen's recovery, she would wake up in the middle of the night, and her mind would start racing, and she'd start spiraling. What are we going to do about finishing the semester? Well, what about next semester? Do I pay tuition? Is she going to go to school? What's next? Her mind was just going and going. And she'd catch herself, right? And she would stop. And she would use the Philippians verse again about not worrying about anything and about to pray about everything. And she'd give those thoughts to God. And in doing so, again, that peace would just come over her. And she was allowed to settle down and then get back to sleep. She realized that she didn't have to carry all this around. She didn't have to have all the answers. She didn't have to have a plan about what's next. That God is in it, and it was going to be okay. So one night, as Kathy thought about Jen and not being able to return to school, because this next semester is unlikely she can go back to school, and possibly she's supposed to graduate in May. And she's also the editor-in-chief of their newspaper. Do schools still have newspapers? So she's the editor-in-chief, and she's so grounded and loves this college. So Jen was, again, spiraling about what's next for her, and Kathy was so worried. So again, what did she do? She turned it over to God. And that next day, when she's talking to Jen, she didn't even bring it up. Jen says, well, you know what? I probably can't go to school this semester. But that's okay. I'll take online classes. I'll do my internship. And I'll do my independent study, and I'll still stay on track. And guess what? That person that's going to take over for me as editor, she's ready to go, and it's going to be just great. So here's Kathy worrying, turning it over, and here's Jen just going with the flow. So another verse that Kathy said kept coming to mind is one, the one from James where it says to rejoice in trials. And she had said she remembered hearing that verse over and over again in the past, but really not thinking about it. Until this happened. And she said, through this experience with Jen, She's realized that with God, it's actually easier to do. It's easier to face these tragedies and the unknown because God's with her. And she said that the few weeks before the accident, she actually had been kind of in that dry spiritual spell, kind of like asleep spiritually. But because of this tragedy with Jen and having to grow closer with God, she's been reconnected spiritually, and she's at a different place, a better place than she was before this had happened. So I'm happy to say Jen was released last Friday, so December 23rd. She was released from the hospital. So from the 28th through intensive therapy, she's now home. She got to be home for Christmas. And she has kind of still a long road ahead of her. So how are we doing? What time is it? Because I do not have a watch with me. Ma'am? Oh, perfect. Okay, so as we come to a close tonight, what I thought we'd do is just take a moment and practice thinking on those characteristics that we're supposed to be thinking about. And as you like think about the last week or so, or maybe something that's coming up ahead for you, I want you to take one of these pieces and just try to think of what thoughts you can apply into your mind to come from a place that God wants us to approach life from these positive thoughts of Him. So whether it's thinking of what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, let's just take a minute and we'll let Elise just play just some soft music. And I want you just to allow yourself to feel some kind of thought along those lines. And I also want you to see what kind of shift happens within you when you're allowed to think on these things that we're called to think about, and allow your mind, then your heart, to have that transition. Let us close with a gentle reminder. Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. And watch your character, it becomes your destiny. So I'm one of those people that needs reminders. So as you leave tonight, I have something for you to kind of carry with you to think of, help you remember what to think on.
Truly creatures of habit. I was sitting back there and just mesmerized by Elise, and anytime she comes and plays, I get lost. I truly do. And so she was playing where doesn't that just feel like the Spirit of God washing over you? I mean, I could listen to that all night, and she was gracious enough to play that on cue. Go ahead. Oh. Rejoice, rejoice always. I remember early on in my Christian walk, my wife had done some organizing, and I got up in the middle of the night to get something to drink, and I stubbed my toe. And I stubbed it so bad that it felt like the toenail was trying to touch the ankle. And I can remember, I don't remember rejoicing. I don't remember, you know, proclaiming, "Holy Father, thank you for the ability to feel pain." There were a whole bunch of other thoughts that came to mind. And they were really directed at my wife for rearranging the furniture. And I thought about, and I say all of this is because, you know, that's a beautiful story of somebody who has had that verse in their life for a long time, and it's become a life verse for them. But what do you do if you maybe haven't stumbled across, pardon the pun, stumbled across that verse? I want to offer you hope because, you know, ironically, in God's timing, shortly after the stubbing, I came across that verse. And at first, I kind of just shot it down. But then as I really meditated on it, God would give me a second chance to try my luck at it again. I actually fell off a ladder and caught my leg in between two rafters and fell sideways. By all rights, my leg should have snapped. But somehow it didn't, and I rolled off the deck that I was building. And I knew immediately how grateful I should be because it wasn't broken. And with every step I took, I said, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God." I was praising him. Praised him all the way around the block. Truly, true story, that actually happened. And we stopped working, and I sent my employee home that day and got some ice and took some Advil and took the rest of the day off and had the Bible in my lap. And the next day, I was able to get up and walk with minimal pain. So it's one of those things where if we become creatures of habit, truly, and study the Word and allow that Word to penetrate our hearts, we can indeed put into practice some of the things that Paul teaches us and the Gospels teach us and Jesus himself. I mean, if you think about it, Jesus on the cross with two criminals, one on each side, well, they were all criminals in the crowd's eyes. I can't imagine the excruciating pain they were in, all of them. And one of them has the audacity to pick up and start a conversation with Jesus about paradise. Think about that. And what does God do? What does Jesus do? He doesn't dwell on the pain that he's in. He allows the Spirit of God, Elise. to wash over him, to give him the strength to turn fear into hope for a criminal who pled guilty. And so we come tonight remembering that in the midst of pain and suffering, Jesus can take the symbol of bread, break it, and give thanks, and say, "Take, eat, for this is my body broken for you." And he can take a cup and he can again rejoice, giving thanks blessing it and saying, "Take, drink, all of you, for this is my blood poured out for you." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we call out the power of your Holy Spirit to descend on us here and bless us gathered here, and bless these common elements of fruit of the vine and bread. Bless these common elements that they may become the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, broken and poured out for us for the forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Just a couple housekeeping instructions. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church to come forward to receive this gift. A piece of bread will be broken off and handed to you, and simply receive it, for grace is never taken, only received. And once you receive the bread, take it and dip it in the cup. And hear the words, "The body of Christ broken for you and the blood of Christ shed for you." And for those who Taizé has become a worship service for you, or your worship service, we have a basket to place an offering to God, rejoicing in what he's done for us. So as you're ready, the table's been set, all are welcome.
Thank you.
I noticed oftentimes people get really surprised by the amount of bread that I break off, and just to, for those of you who may haven't experienced that much grace before, you know, that work on the cross is a lot to digest, and I think there's great symbolism in taking off a big piece and just chewing on that for a while, and realizing the peace that must have been fully present for Christ to endure the cross, to the extent of his final words, or close to the final words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There's certain phrases and words that Jesus speaks that just astound me. And every time we come to communion, to chew on that. It's a lot to chew on. So may you go from this place rejoicing in the peace that Christ offers, rejoicing in the hope Christ offers, rejoicing in the love that Christ offers. Go in peace. Amen.